huge news today. I was sitting having a our normal Tuesday meeting with the Grand Poobah over in the office with the window. And as we're wrapping up, he goes, hey, the PGA Tour just merged with LIV and the DP World Tour. And I said, come on. No. He goes, no. This is a this is right from the PGA Tour's website. Holy cow. Massive news. Brad Fritsch, I hate even saying this, I guess former PGA Tour player, joins us on the Adam Gold Show. My friend, I appreciate your time. Thoughts on what I think is a massive, massive announcement?
Well, first off, you should never be afraid of the truth, Adam. Former PGA Tour players, just fine. also, the Canes did get swept, unfortunately.
Wow. Dude, why are you trying to hurt a guy?
I'm just angry today. This bothers me. This whole thing bothers me.
Okay, tell me why it bothers you.
So, for the obvious reasons of the PGA Tour commissioner has largely sat on the sidelines this entire time and let players take the bullets, as it were, from journalists who are just trying to get the story. But it's a contentious issue, and guys like Rory McIlroy for 18 months has stood in front and kind of been the face of the PGA Tour, was very, very adamant, very emotional about it. A lot of guys were emotional. I guarantee you that there are 10 to 20 players who turned down high eight or low nine figure contracts.
Yep.
And now they're sitting there, and not that anyone needs to feel sorry for their financial status, but they're sitting there thinking, well, why did I do that? I spent time defending the tour and took a what I think is a principled stance, largely, and lost out on a lot of money. And in the end, it looks like, I think at the end of 2023, there'll be guys coming back to the PGA Tour, and the two tours will probably have some sort of cooperative agreement where they play against each other quite a bit. And I think in the end, it's just going to be one tour, whatever they call it, I don't know. But in the end, I think there's going to be an elite tour of 60 to 70 guys who are playing outside of the majors, probably 10 to 12 events all over the world against each other. And it's funded by the PIF, the Saudi, government fund. And he's now a member of the board of this entity, which is, geez, watch your back. I mean, it's just, the whole thing just boggles my mind.
All right, so maybe I'm wrong here, but I saw the story on June 1st. So where was I June 1st? June 1st was, I was off. That was, I guess, Thursday of last week. Thursday? Well, something like that. I saw the story, and I thought, that doesn't sound real good if I'm a PGA Tour player, and I know that I'm being sued. There's an antitrust lawsuit against our tour for conspiring to make it against a competitor, that Endeavor was willing to invest $1 billion in LIV Golf to, for the most part, replace the Saudi investment fund, or at least kind of be in addition to the Saudi investment fund's funding and backing of this tour. But according to the story, according to the CEO of Endeavor, the PGA Tour, led by Jay Monahan, discouraged them from doing so. I mean, I'm not a legal mind, but that just seems like I've done exactly what I have claimed to not be doing, which is actively conspiring against LIV.
Right. You pointed it out to me. I remember seeing the story last week. I didn't really give it much thought. It's an interesting theory. Now, this lawsuit, there's two ways to look at it. The tour doesn't really want their books open because they're a nonprofit, and I'm sure that there are some things that IRS agents will probably not like. But I don't think the Saudis wanted discovery at all to be had in this in this lawsuit either. So I think that both parties win here in terms of having this lawsuit dismissed. And I think this whole merger, I think, speaks to the LIV Tour isn't financially working.
No,
and
can't.
The PGA Tour definitely has sponsors who are telling the commissioner, we can't go any higher.
Right.
Like, we can't have these elevated events and paying $20 million for this purse where 12 months ago it was $7 or $8 million. Like, that's I don't know if you know, Adam, but that's almost 200% increase. and like, that's hard to digest if you're on the board of a public company and you're beholden to shareholders. And
yeah.
What added value are you getting out of it? Because I don't think golf's numbers are particularly good during the actual PGA Tour season. The majors are good.
Yeah.
And those provide value. But outside of that, it's okay. So this whole thing has been, I think, a lesson in harsh economics for both tours. Like the LIV Tour, what return are they getting on their investment right now?
No, they're not getting anything. It really is a business model that has no chance of surviving. But because the public investment fund at the time that this was born was worth $620 trillion, which is, of course, a number that we can't even fathom, that it didn't matter. It didn't matter if they spent $5 billion a year. That money just regenerates anyway. It was like spending nothing to them. It was monopoly. It was cartoon money. And so they could sustain it. But if they tried to run it like a sustainable business, it had no chance of surviving. And maybe at some point the Saudis were going to go, well, we're not just going to light money on fire. We want this, but we don't want it at the expense of being stupid. So we had to find a business model that works. And now the business model can work. Look at that. Is the PGA Tour the biggest loser here? And is the biggest winner the DP World Tour, which gets some players back and maybe gets more of these events?
Yeah, I think the DP World Tour is probably the big winner because, you know, again, they're doing okay. They do what they do. They have a whole bunch of events over the course of the year all over the world, and their purses, you know, aren't half as high as the PGA Tour, even for the smallest
right.
PGA Tour event. But, you know, players get by, and they've got 10 cards to go to the PGA Tour, and the good players make a pretty decent living, albeit their travel expenses have to be, you know, two or three times that of any player in America. But I do think they're the big winner here. I don't know how it's going to work, but in the end, it sounds like the DP World Tour will be getting back those kind of legacy players that you think about when it comes to European Tour golf, like the Westwoods, Poulters,
yep.
Sergio Garcias. I think there are so many hard feelings on all sides of this, Adam, though, by so many players. The players who left behind $100, $200 million, like I'm sure, like Spieth, Thomas, Morikawa, Rahm, any
yeah.
guy like that. But then guys like Westwood and Poulter, and who have been kind of eviscerated over the past year by people in Europe. You know, they're no longer welcome on their tour.
Yep.
Same with Sergio. So I think on all sides, and by all accounts, no players knew about this. Now, I think McIlroy probably did because he went silent the last couple weeks on this after being so vociferous for so long. He all of a sudden just said, I'm out, no more commenting. I don't know what the future holds.
Okay, I'm more naive about it than I think. I just think he was tired of talking about it. And he was also frustrated with his own game.
That's very possible, too. But I think there's a ton of players. I'll give you an insight. I got an email about a minute before an alert came up on my phone because I'm still a member of the Korn Ferry Tour under the PGA Tour umbrella.
Right.
Notice from Commissioner Monahan, the letter that you've probably seen on Twitter already.
Yeah.
So everyone got this about a minute before the news comes, and nobody checks their email probably as much as I do. So a lot of players took to social media saying, it's nice that I find out about this on Twitter. I don't think many, if any, players knew about this. It sounds like Greg Norman didn't know about it.
Yes, good.
Conspicuous. Yeah, no kidding. His name conspicuously absent from any of the release. And I
right.
think I saw on C-SPAN that the PIF, Saudi Arabian fellow, said that he called Norman after his interview on C-SPAN. So I think all around this was very secret, very hush-hush. I don't mind that part of it because the golf world is horrible at keeping secrets.
Yeah.
You've got players who know media members. They'll text them. They'll forward emails right away to the media member. So nothing's ever kept secret in the golf world. And this one, this might have been between legitimately two people, Jay Monahan and I don't know the guy's name. I'm sorry. I think his name's Yasir.
Al Ramayan. Yes, I 100% agree. And by the way, I do expect Greg Norman to be out of any future structure of this tour. And if I'm Greg Norman, I'm a winner too, because ultimately I didn't get exactly what I set out to do, but I got pretty much the meaning of what I set out to do, which is what he set out to do almost 30 years ago, which was to create a super tour, if you will, the Champions League of international soccer, of European soccer. That's what he set out to do, was to really diminish the PGA Tour as an entity and create something of his own. And that's kind of what's about to happen if they carry it through to that. And if Greg Norman doesn't have to be a part of it, he can still sit back on his couch with his feet up and his own billions and go, I did what I set out to do.
Each week, we dive into the mind of the con artist, uncovering the secrets behind the biggest Ponzi schemes you never heard about.
We're not talking about Bernie Madoff or Charles Ponzi.
That's right. Those guys have been covered to death. The Ponzi Playbook will focus on those fraudsters who have swindled millions from unsuspecting investors. Subscribe to the Ponzi Playbook wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think that's largely correct. I would wonder how far across the world they're going to go with these events, because there's a lot of American players who really enjoy the comforts of, you know, West Palm and Jupiter, Florida, and you know, a 3 or 4 hour flight out
right
to the West Coast instead of a 15 to 17 hour day over to wherever it is, Singapore, where they played, or a 19 hour flight to Melbourne, Australia, something like that. You know, guys play the PGA Tour for a reason, so I wonder how that's going to work as well. I'm sure some guys will love it, but I would bet that a lot of American players who are somewhat insular, they would just appreciate having, you know, a Chick-fil-A around the corner every week. I know I would.
Yes, it is the comforts of home. You know, we don't have Chick-fil-A's yet in Melbourne. Come on, we got to have a Chick-fil-A in Melbourne.
I very much doubt it, Adam.
Oh, man.
Got one coming to Ottawa pretty soon. Oh, yeah.
You're the man. Brad Fritsch, still a current member of the Korn Ferry Tour, because he gets the emails. Appreciate your time, my friend.
Hey, I tried to qualify for the Canadian Open on Sunday. It was a Sunday qualifier. And in retrospect, I really wish I had qualified not to play in my national open, but just to see the players meeting tonight.
Fantastic. Gosh. Rory McIlroy. This is, by the way, we're coming up, and I know we have to go. We're coming up on the one-year anniversary from when he won the Canadian Open and stuffed it in Greg Norman's face.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Rory, God, bless him. All right, Brad, I appreciate your time, man.
Okay, take care, Adam.
You got it. Brad Fritsch.